Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is Trinity Sunday. Pastor Alan Miller shows for a sermon topic, Going, Teaching, Beginning, Baptizing, based on Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Our radio broadcast this morning is in loving memory of Albert Lubert. This special tribute is given by Carolyn Lubert and family. We thank them for sharing God's message of grace to others through our broadcast. Mr. Ron Baker is at the organ this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning. Happy to be with you on this Trinity Sunday. As is tradition on Trinity Sunday, much of our liturgy this morning is going to be focusing upon the unity of our God, existing as three persons and yet remains one. And we will especially be seeing that more deeply in the creed that we will later confess in the service. Once a year do we confess the Athanasian Creed, which, as you will see, it's a bit longer, but it captures the truth of our triune God quite nicely. And so we will be confessing that later. But may we worship our triune God this morning, singing our first hymn together, number 905. Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God.
Thank you.
us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity and the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapters 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights on the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with the seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had begun. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading comes from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the Gospel of the Lord. We confess responsively the Athanasian Creed. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this: that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. Just as there are not three uncreated or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty. And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. The Father is not made nor created nor begotten by anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal. So that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped. Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age. Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh, equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. Although he is God and man, he is not two but one Christ. One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. and those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. You may be seated. Disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching. These are some timely words which I think the Church of God needs to hear again today. For it seems like a temptation for many to simply brush off these words, to act, as it were, as if these words were no longer in effect. These words were dead rather than living and active. And yet, beloved, rightly speaking, the Great Commission is truly binding upon all of God's church. For it wasn't spoken to the disciples only, but rather it is spoken also to us today. For again, the words of God are living and active. And they place a perpetual obligation upon the church and his people. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. It kind of amazes me as we read through the creation account a moment ago, seeing how all of creation, all of it just obeys God. Read through Genesis 1 again and see how whenever God spoke, creation itself would immediately just obey the Lord. Just by commanding it, light came into being. Or by a single command did the waters gather into seas. Elsewhere, whenever we read through Scripture, we see how the wind and the waves obeyed him. We see diseases like leprosy and paralysis obeying him. We see death and even demons themselves obey him anytime the Lord gives a command. And yet what a testimony that ought to be to man's fallenness, and especially to the church, that somehow still we can so often ignore him. How easy it is to disobey and to be, as it were, our own little Jonahs. That when God tells us to obey and to go and teach, whether that would be across nations or even just to our own families and friends and neighbors, we can often run to our own little comfort zones and downplay the importance and the necessity of the Great Commission. But shouldn't that all be enough? That if our Lord God, our Master and Redeemer, if he were to command anything of us, shouldn't we be quick to obey him? If even the dust of the ground should obey our Master's voice, then shouldn't we ourselves do so even more? We who truly call Jesus Lord ought to be quick to do everything that the Lord commands. And yet, concerning the Great Commission, more than just having the Master's command, as if that in itself weren't enough, we also know that the world needs our obedience. It is crucial for our neighbor's sake that our hearts would readily obey our Savior's words, that we would heed his command and teach those minds that are darkened. I ask you to think about the world for just a moment, and how the world needs the church's obedience. For truly do the wicked perish every day. Sinners are perishing, dear friends, for a lack of knowledge, and should we then be standing back to let them? God's name is being blasphemed, and should we remain quiet? The honor of Christ is being trampled underfoot by the world, and should we keep still? And again, we are told that the Lord delays his coming so that more can be saved, and should we begin to sleep? It's quite obvious that we need to gird up the loins of our mind, as Peter tells us, and to carry the truth of God to the unbelieving world. Just common decency should be a weighty enough motivation for us. Let love itself motivate us to step in and bring the gospel and salvation to man. Should we even need our Master's command to go, therefore, and teach the gospel, when we remember that it alone is the power of God for the salvation of man? But even still, The Lord, in longing mercy, does command us to go. And it is with an aching heart that he does so, grieving over each sinner who perishes. Truly, we know that the Lord longs for the salvation of all people. In fact, he has prepared a highway to paradise. He has prepared a heavenly feast. All that is needed is for people to be invited, to be encouraged along the way. And so he commands us then to go and teach. To teach the unbelieving world of the power of his blood and how the blood of Jesus cleanses even the deepest of stains. Teach them how the precious blood of Christ can remove entire mountains of guilt and shame. Teach them concerning the arms of the Lord and how they desire to embrace every returned prodigal. Teach them about the heart of the Lord and how it yearns for their salvation. That the Lord God is slow to anger, quick to show mercy, and he abounds with steadfast love. You can feel the tenderness with which Jesus first spoke these words. It's not the voice of anger or wrath, but this commandment is founded in love. Go and teach, he says, for it is for the sake of the lost that he directs us. It's for mercy's sake. Teach them, he says. Teach them to no longer despise me. Teach them that no longer to think of my Father as ruthless. Teach them of all of my promises. Teach them that my invitations are still going out and that they remain open. That my offer remains good to them as long as they have life and breath. And that here and that in the Lord, that the weary and heavy laden may find rest for their souls. As Jesus has spoken, so ought we to speak to others. And not just using his words, serving as his mouthpieces, but let us speak as he spoke, weeping as he wept for others. Let us invite and exhort and plead and to pray for others as Christ has done all of those things for us. I really love just how simple the Great Commission really is. How exceedingly plain is the command to go and teach. Jesus really didn't even say to go and preach. He didn't say go and argue and debate people into the kingdom. But most plainly, he just said, go and teach. Just speak the truth in love. Make the gospel known. Instead of trying to disprove their entire worldview, just teach them a better way. Tell them the good news. Tell them the stories of God's mercy, of his faithfulness, and of his almighty power. My dear friends, teaching is a work that a parent can do with a child. In fact, that is a work that we can all do with a dear friend. That is something that we can do over coffee with friends or family and neighbors. How incredibly simple is the command to go and teach, to illustrate, to explain, to tell and inform and narrate, to tell stories, to share the gospel, and to take away the darkness of ignorance as you reveal the light of God. How simple is that command, dear friends? For it's not our eloquence that's going to convert them. It's not our vast knowledge, our intellectual prowess, nor of our ability to debate that is going to save sinners. Look one verse prior and see wherein our success is guaranteed. In the Great Commission again, he said, "Go you therefore." And it just begs the question, what does the "therefore" refer to? Well, the previous verse, verse 18, tells us, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," Jesus says, "therefore go." See how success is guaranteed when we wield God's word as a sword. When we teach, when we obey what he commanded. It's as Paul says, "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Paul says, as a matter of fact, even though the process of teaching is quite simple, it is yet a guaranteed success, for all authority has been given to Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth rests in his hands. There is no one too far gone to be saved by the simple teachings of Jesus Christ. There's no stronghold of Satan that can't be battered down by the blood of the Lamb. We are told that even the gates of hell shall not prevail against the Christ, for all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. How can we be content to so foolishly sit still, as if believing someone can be out of reach? Let us prove rather that the promises of God are true, that he does have all power and authority. Go with this as your might. All power is given to Christ. Power over the waves of the sea, as well as the power over the very wills and hearts of man. Pray that the gates of iron which bar men's hearts would be opened. Through prayer and teaching, Christ indeed has the power to affect man's hearts, to turn brutes into God-fearers, sinners into saints, the proud into humble believers. Let our own lives bear witness to this testimony. In his hands lies the keys to the hearts and minds of man. We can show the efficacy of Jesus' blood and the invincibility of his spirit by just going forth in the spirit of faith. We can teach all nations, winning them to the truth. And so let us, dear friends, begin just at home with our own family and friends. For there is hope for success, that in due time we will reap if we do not give up. For with Christ, nothing is impossible. And even concerning our own children, we are given this promise, that train a child in the way they should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train them, or teach them, I've seen other translations put it. Dear friends, as the world perishes, let us equip ourselves with this word of God and bring the light of the gospel in the good news of Jesus Christ dying for the sins of the world into our daily conversations. To obey our Lord, and for the sake of our neighbor's souls, may we remain faithful. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank your holy name that you continue to have mercy and compassion upon us. We thank you for sending us your Son, giving your dearly beloved Son to save fallen sinners like ourselves. We humbly ask that you would continue to show us mercy, knowing that you are faithful and true to your promises. Comfort us with your word, and let it dwell richly within us. Put your word in our hearts and minds, and cause it to flow out often with a flood of peace, hope, love, and grace. Lead us to live according to all that is good and right. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And mighty God, you are the creator of all things. And along with your Son and Holy Spirit, you have and continue to order all things well. As you work in perfect unity, lead us as your church to also come together as one body, as one temple, and as one people in Christ. Lead us to serve, love, and to live together in fellowship and peace. And as we live together, Lord, we ask that you would lead us to also carry your truth upon our heart and lips. Give us opportunity and guide us to take advantage of every occasion to share your truth with others. Use us to teach and to spread your name and your gospel to the world around us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of love, you are full of sacrifice and service. We ask that you would continue to be with Matthew and Haley, to lead them in the pathways of love as they were united in marriage last night. We thank you for this joyous occasion. We ask that you would continue to bring them together, lead them to help and to support one another all life long, through all of life's many trials, and lead them to support one another in their pursuit and relationship with you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, wonderful counselor, we lift before you today Louise Harms and all the family and loved ones of Lester. As Lester passed away, we ask that you would bring your spirit to comfort them. Give them the hope of eternal life, knowing that you are the God of the living. And because of what you have done for them, knowing that they will see their loved one again. Likewise, we lift before you the family of Ron Henley. Have mercy upon them and all of your people. We ask that you would deal graciously with us as we grieve his loss as well. Comfort your people with your promises of eternal life and the forgiveness of sins which you freely give us in Jesus. In wisdom, lead us to number our days so that we may learn how to spend each day for your glory and for our neighbors. And Lord, we pray also for those who are on our hearts and minds this morning. We lift before you the great-granddaughter of Darlene, Elena, as she has eye surgery this coming up week. We ask that you would grant a healing and a successful operation. be with her and be with her mom as they travel. Keep them safe along their journeys. And for all of your people, for our family, community, and loved ones, for all who are on our prayer list, including shut-ins, missionaries, and military personnel, Lord, we ask for your blessing upon these. Work all things together for our good, and teach us to lean upon you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time we worship God with our offerings. Please stand. You. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. hand. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.